covered, Acts chapter 3, verse 19, time of refreshing. The word time is kairos, time of refreshing, found in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And that the key thing is the presence of the Lord. You see there on the immediately time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. So time of refreshing is always linked with the presence of the Lord. And time of refreshing called Kairos time is always linked with what they call Rima word. So I repeat, time of refreshing, and that means you get some input from the Lord, is it's from the presence of the Lord, and is a Rima word, that means it's a situational word. Then you find that in verse Acts chapter 3, verse 21, you see there, time of restoration. The word time is Kairos time. Chronos time, not Kairos. Chronos, Chronos, Chronos at 24-7, 24-7. And the restoration is all things through the mouth of God, all of God's holy prophet. So that means all restorative understanding come from the Old Testament. As I say, there are 4,200 passages in the Old Testament that we need to piece together like jigsaw puzzle. And then when you piece together, you will have a complete or composite plan of the restoration of the nation of Israel and also the church. It involves both nation of Israel and the church. All right. Now, so I want to introduce now the next one. So can you turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. There it says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. That fullness of time comes from the word P-L-E. R-O-O, phileo, okay? So now, phileo is the time when the, what they call Rima word, received a Kairos time, become an actuality of birth for. Now, what is the, what they call a process that will cause this fullness of time of the birth of the promises of God that God has given to you at a specific time, a specific situation, a specific place. Okay, that is called the Rima word on a Kairos time. Okay, now, so remember this first important aspect before I go into this chart and explain. Now, Kairos time. Phileo's time, Kairos is from Acts chapter 3, verse 19, that is Kairos time, or instantaneous time. Then your Phileo time, P-L-E-R-O-O, found in Galatians 4:4, the fullness of time. It's not independent. It all relates to Chronos time. It doesn't hang by itself, it does not... It's not an independent, it is always coming from Chronos time. Okay, so Chronos time, Kairos time, and Phileo's time, they are one and it's a composite. That means everything must come from Kairos, Chronos time. So 24/7. That means to say, in your life, when we say Chronos time, it's from the day of your birth to the day of death. Okay. That means that period of time is called Chronos time, 24/7, okay? Out of the Chronos time, there will be certain period of the time God will speak to you. And that's when God speaks to you, that is a Kairos time, okay? And that Kairos time will not immediately, it's just a promise of God. It's a promise of God, but it will take some time and some circumstances, and there are some conditions before it can be fully fulfilled, okay, which is called a birthing clock time or phileo time, P L-E-R-O-O, okay? That is the first important thing. Now, so when you receive, now watch this, when you receive a word from the Lord, or an impression from the Lord, or a dream from the Lord, or for a vision from the Lord, that is a, what you call, Rhema word coming to you in various forms, either in dreams, or in impression, or it may be a vision. Vision can be mental vision or what you call actual vision. So all this is the Rhema word of God for that situation, and is at Kairos time. Okay. So when you receive that, say for example, you or the church receive that, you are in a condition called the actual condition you see on the left side. The left side. So let's say, for example, you are going through a very difficult time. Okay, and then a prophet or certain person come and prophesy, oh, you are going to be, you know, great, you are, you know, something great is going to happen, you know, in the church or in your life, or something great, or there will be a huge thing, and then you are going to have a big ministry. But now, at the current condition, you are facing difficulty trying to sort out your immediate issue and problem. But what the prophecy given or the word given is actually in the future. In the future, called the ideal time. That is the ideal time. So that is a different, what you call, situation you are in. The actual condition tells you this, but God promised you, God always speaks into the future. God, when God speaks, it speaks into your potential and destiny. Okay, so that is ideal. So how do you move from your actual condition? You're now in serious difficulty, whether in finance or in works or whatever is it. How do you move from that actual position to a place where it is God's promise come to pass? That journey is the most difficult. So you see, recently we have received a lot of prophetic words. A lot of people go up there to receive the prophetic word, but none of them have understanding, and none of them have the prophetic word interpreted, because prophetic word has to be interpreted to make sense. Because in every prophetic word or any impression or any call of God in your life, there are always two components. One is the sovereignty of God. That means God promises you, and God will keep the promise. God is faithful. However, within the same word of God that is given to you, there is a human responsibility. You need to respond. What is your response? So if any prophetic word that you receive or any impression that you receive, and if you do not know how to sort out God's promise and your responsibility, and you just wait, the prophetic word will never ever come to pass. Because God expects you to move with a human responsibility. So every prophetic word, except for the unconditional word of God, that unconditional word of God is only found in the covenant. As I have already spoken to you and teach you, Edenic covenant, Adamic covenant, Noahic covenant, Abrahamic covenant, Mosaic covenant, Palestinian covenant, Davidic covenant, New covenant. So there are eight on earth here. Okay, and the one in heaven is called everlasting covenant. So except for the covenantal promise of God, which is nobody can fulfill, it is unconditional promise. All impression, all call of God, all gifting of God always has a human responsibility. Not only that, so you have to understand. So when you receive a word or when you receive a call, let's say you call into a full time, okay? Then you must understand at the point when you receive the word, what is your actual condition? Okay, what is your actual condition? So that condition is your actual position when you receive the word of God. But God promises you into the future that, oh, you are going to be full-time, or you are going to be a big successful person. It is an ideal, or God sees your potential and destiny. Okay, there. And so from your time you receive to the time of fulfillment, that journey, God basically deals with three things. One, your character, because your character needs to be developed. so that you can be able to take on God's potential and destiny in your life as He has promised. Second thing, there will be a lot of pain that you need to go through. That means to say, when you receive a call to be full-time, or when you receive a call, I will prove all this, when you receive a call from God to be a full-time, or when you receive anything that God has spoken to you, there will always be pain. That means to say, you will go through trial, you'll go through difficulty, and also Satan will try to abort, cause you to be that promise given to you to be aborted, so that you will not be able. And so we have some basic problem here. As we have seen the last prophetic meeting, we have received the word of the Lord. Nobody asked that word of the Lord to be interpreted. Nobody asked whether which part is from God, which part is from human. Even though they are prophets, they are not 100% accurate in that sense. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 29 says we have to judge. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 21 says we have to test all things, hold fast only those things that are good, that means from God. Okay, so you have that major problem. So I would say that every one of you who have received a word from the Lord, a call from the Lord, remember you have to mentally prepare that there is going to be, we call this year, prophetic pain. There will be struggle, a lot of frustration. And you will, if you don't understand that and you don't deal with that and you don't have understanding of that, you think that you have come under satanic attack. No. Satan is not attacking you. God is dealing with you, okay? Let me establish and prove that. All right. So when you see, take for example, you see the chart there, Joseph. Joseph received 2 dreams, all right? Joseph received 2 dreams. You want to put the scripture down? Genesis chapter 37, verse 5 to 10, all right? Joseph received 2 dreams. And the dream says, no, he is going to be somebody. His 11 brothers will bow down to him. His father, which is the sun, the mother, which is the moon, will also bow down to him. Okay, so that dream, Joseph, right? So that dream Joseph had, Joseph, it will blow Joseph's mind. What is it? He doesn't know. Now, so when God gave Joseph that dream, Joseph was only 17 years old. You can find that in Genesis chapter 37, verse 2. He was only 17 years old, very young. And he will not be able to comprehend the potential and the destiny that God has when he gave him that word, that dream, to bring him into a place where he will be, you know, the governor of Egypt, you know, and taking care of all of Egypt, only under Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the only person above him. So you can, he will not be able, because you'll blow his mind. But you have to understand, the moment he received the dream to the moment when the dream become an actuality, which is called his potential and destiny in God is released, that promise comes to fruition, or it becomes a fullness of time. By Leo time, P-L-E-R-O, fullness of time, the birthing call of time. That time is the most critical time from actuality to the prophetic time. That is the most important time. Now, let me explain and then... So, Joseph has to go through, I call it pitted, potted, putted. Okay, what do you mean by pitted, potted, putted? He was put in the pit, so he's pitted. He was sold to Potiphar, you know, the god, the Egyptian of the, what they call the prison pot. So he's potted. And then he was put in prison because of false accusation. Okay. So you see, his journey is 13 years before the fulfillment. So there's a lot of pain, a lot of frustration, a lot of weariness will set into your life. Let's say whether you're calling full time, whether you have received a Rhema word. Every Rhema word will come with prophetic pain. That means to say there will be pain and struggle. Okay? Let me give you another one. David. Okay? David was about, there is no official record, about 17 years old or so. Okay? Now, let's come back to Joseph. Joseph became the governor of Egypt when he was 30 years old. So he went through 13 years of God's dealing. 13 years of God's dealing. He was pitted, putted, potted, put in a pit, landed in Potiphar's house, and then landed in prison. Now, watch this. Can you turn to Psalm? I want to just show you. Psalm 105. Psalm 105, 17 to 19. Everybody turn to, can somebody read? Okay, 17 to 19, you see that in verse 18, what? He was chained, is it? He was chained, right? Any response, right, correct? Psalm 105, verse 17 to 19, it talks about Joseph. God gave a man Joseph, right? Verse 18, there is a key word there. He says, I need a response so that he was chained, right?
Yes.
He was chained, right? Now, the word there, he was chained, it's not just chained, you know. That means the word, the phrase means, the meaning of the word means what? You know? The chain has gone into his soul. That means to say what it means is that he, in his soul, feels that there is no way that he will come out from prison. So he begins to eat into his soul. Now, there is the deep pain, the deep struggle, the deep frustration. So when you receive any impression from God, when you receive a prophetic word from God, remember one thing, it is not going to be a smooth sailing. It is going to have prophetic pain, a lot of struggle, frustration, and all this. Only after when he was installed, it was 13 years later. 13 years later. That is found in, I think it's in 41, Genesis, turn to Genesis 41, verse 46. Can somebody confirm? Genesis 41, verse 46. 40, he's 30 years old, right?
Yep, yes.
Correct? So it takes him 13 years, you know, for God dream or prophetic word or Rhema word to come into actuality, the full potential and destiny that God has in him is released. Okay, so you need to frame your mind every time you receive something from God, you are going to go through that prophetic pain. Say, for example, David, all right, David was anointed. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, confirm is correct or not? 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, first part. He was anointed, right? To be king over Israel, right? Correct? Any confirmation? I need you all to follow me.
Yes.
Okay. Now, for him to become king over Israel, which is found in 2 Samuel, follow me and then respond. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4. He was 30 years old, right? Correct?
Yes.
Correct? So it takes him about 13 years. And in the 13 years, God allowed King Saul to make 15 attempts on his life. 15 attempts on his life. And during the time of trial, the key thing is your attitude and my attitude. For example, Joseph, when he was under trial, from the time he was sold to the time he became king, became governor of Egypt, you notice that he kept his life faultless or blameless before God. So during the time when you receive a prophetic word or you receive a call from God to be a full-time or whatever it is, the key thing is that when you go through a prophetic stage, during this time, you need to watch over your attitude. That's a key thing. That's a key thing. All right? So Joseph, watch over his attitude. David had two opportunity to kill Saul. Saul make 15 attempts on his life. And yet he has the opportunity to kill King Saul. But what he says? He will not touch God's anointed. All right? So even there, you see, Saul made 15 attempts on his life. When Saul was killed, in 2 Samuel chapter 1, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1, David weep before the Lord and weep before the whole nation of Israel. And he composed a song called the Song of the Bow, B-O-W. Okay? Exalting Saul, telling the nation of Israel that we should be grateful to Saul, you know, because he has done so many things. And yet, during that time, Saul made 15 attempts to kill him. Saul made his life very miserable. But yet, he never ever speak bad about Saul. He never ever have bitterness about Saul. He never ever lay hand upon Saul. Even when Saul, at one time, he just cut a small portion of the Saul's clothing, his heart was smitten. All right? So you see, not only that, you look at 2 Samuel chapter 3. Everybody turn to, just follow me. He says, David's household is stronger than Saul's household, right? Correct? Respond? Anyone come?
Yeah, correct.
Correct, huh? Okay, you all need to respond so that I know that I'm quoting by memory all this scripture. His household, that means his army is stronger than King Saul's army, and yet he never ever lay hand upon King Saul's household and King Saul's army, but he allowed God's word to bring it to pass. So when you receive a word or you're called and you're going through a prophetic pain, the key thing is to watch your attitude, watch your manner, watch your lifestyle, and watch your what you're thinking, and do not allow weariness and bitterness to come in. That is how you are going to come from the position called actual position, actual condition, all the way to the fulfillment, which is the prophetic promise, which will release God's fullness, prophetic promise to you. Your full potential will also be released for that moment of time, for that Rima word, and your destiny, you will be in God's perfect will. But during the prophetic pain, if you try to shorten or try to interrupt it, then you will have to go through the same cycle and it will be more difficult. That is understanding this. So you see there. Now let's give you another example. If you look at this, what you call Elisha, E-L-I-S-H-A, Elisha, you remember Elisha?
Yes.
He was called, Elisha was called in 1 King, I think. 1 King, chapter 19, verse 19. Is that confirm? 1 King, chapter 19, verse 19. Got or not? Yeah, confirm,
Yep, correct.
Confirm that he was called, Now, Elisha had to serve Elijah for 8 years. And remember, Elisha asked from Elijah double portion of anointing. And he received a double portion of the anointing found in Second King. Second King, chapter 2, verse 9. Correct? I want to just give you something very. Second King, chapter 2, verse 9. Confirm?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
Now, he is called a prophet with double portion anointing. Elijah have only 8 miracles recorded in the Bible. Elisha has 16 miracles recorded in the Bible. Now, every one of us will think, oh, Elijah is well known. He should be, called a prophet of double portion. But you know what is known to the people? His name and his title. Turn to 2 Kings, chapter 3, verse 11. 2 Kings, chapter 3, verse 11. What is he called? A prophet who what? Pour water on Elijah's hand, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Correct, huh? So sometimes when you get a call from God, and as God gives you, you think, oh, now we see I got God calls me and then or I receive a rhema word, I'm like somebody. My suggestion to you, even Elisha himself is called a prophet who pours water on Elisha's hand. That is his destination, you know. People know him like that, you know. That means to say, God will take you through a prophetic process or prophetic pain that will cause you to humble yourself and to become reliable on relying on God. So that's a learning process. So you have to understand when you are called or when you receive Rhema word, okay, if you from the moment you are called, your actual condition, whether you are happy or whether you are sad, to the time when the word of God becomes reality in your life, this period is called prophetic pain or prophetic struggle or prophetic frustration or prophetic weariness. And the way to shorten this, if you don't know this problem that you will be facing before it becomes birth form, the word of God becomes a birth form and become an actuality in your life, and you begin to be bitter, you begin to be negative, then the prophetic pain will lengthen. Let's say, for example, God intended that you go through this prophetic pain of character development and humbling yourself, before God, and then as you struggle through frustration and all these things, and you are positive, then God may shorten it to 1 year. But if you every time you complain, relationship with people is bad, then God will say, okay, God will just stand aside and then let you struggle until you realize that you need to come to God and have a correct action and attitude. Then your prophetic pain will be shortened. And once the prophetic pain is shortened and when it's complete, you will get 100% what God has spoken to you. 100% of what God has called you into full-time or whatever. So you have to watch this area, okay? So here, what is the critical thing? Relationship with people. So during your prophetic pain, God may just send somebody, irritate you or step on your toe, you get frustrated and you begin to react in the negative. Your relationship begin to be strained. You will lengthen the prophetic pain. So the pain period for you to be shortened is to watch your attitude, is to watch your action, and to watch your manner. Then the actual condition where you receive the present reality, where you receive the prophetic word, which will carry you to the future, which will release your potential and your destiny, will come to pass with full promises and fruition from God. That means it will become fruitful to the thing. So now, how do you link that? That means to say, a lot of people, a lot of people wants to know, oh, I'm interested. No, I wait for the Lord. I want to receive a prophetic word. No, a prophet come. Okay, I stand in the line. Oh, prophet, pray for me. I receive the word. Now, let me say this to you. You see, from the time of your birth to the time of your death, what I'm talking to you, this diagram is only one cycle. You see that? One cycle, prophetic, kairos, God's spoken word. So in your life, there will be a lot of cycle. You know? God will intervene along your, from birth to death, God will intervene. You know. So your chronos time, that is from birth to death, will have a lot of intervening, what they call Rima time or instantaneous time where God intervene. Okay. So the most important, if you want to get regularly God speaking to you, and you want to maintain God's presence, okay, then you have to watch your chronos time. That means to say 24/7, your normal time. You know, many people just want to go for the kairos time, you know, and get the rima word, and the phileo time, get the verb, the word to become what they call actualized and become the promise. If your what they call chronos time, that means your 24 hours daily life, even God don't speak to you, whatever it is, if you maintain a good attitude, maintain good relationship with people. Watch this, relationship with people will affect when will God give you the Rima word, when will God cause your Rima word to become the promise come to fruition or be fulfilled. So I would suggest to you, that in your chronos time, 24/7, whether you have a prophetic word or no prophetic word, when you face difficult situation, frustrating situation, people gets on your nerve, step on your toe or legs or whatever it is, and you become weary and frustrated. If you can manage that, so I would suggest to you, if you want to walk with the Lord, to receive the Rima word, and Rima word become fruitful and ultimately fulfilled, then you have to watch the chronos time of your life. Because if you watch the chronos time of your life carefully, then you will retain or maintain the presence of God. If you watch your chronos time 24/7 carefully, don't worry about, you know, receiving vision or word from the Lord, impression from God. But you just walk carefully with a good attitude, love your country, love your people, love, be forgiving, have good relationship. And if you maintain that sweet spirit, then you will see that God will give you more and more of Rima word. That is how to get Rima word. Many a time we think, oh, we wait and pray and pray and pray, and then they come up, then Rima will come. No, but watch you, watch over you, 24 hours. Are you behaving well? Attitude good? Relationship with people good? Love your country, love your workplace, be a blessing to people. So watch this. In the time of weariness, in your chronos time, 24/7, watch your attitude. And if you watch your attitude, then you will find that the presence of God, and God begins to speak to you more, what you call, constantly. So this diagram is only one kairos time, one spoken word. So you have, through your, let's say, if you are, whatever length of life you have, years you have, God may speak 10, 20, 30, 40. So the numbers of the time that you hear from God will be correspondingly to your attitude during your 24/7, your cryos time. That is how to retain to maintain the presence of God. So going back to Acts chapter 3 verse 19, it says what? The time of refreshing Kairos time from the presence of the Lord. So you want continuously refreshing. God speaking to you. Watch your attitude. Watch your relationship with people. Watch how you work. Be a good, be a blessing to your workplace. Be a blessing to the country. And that's how you retain. And then bit by bit, as more and more of God's word promises fulfill in your life, your potential and destiny will be enlarged. Okay, let me prove it to you. Turn to Psalm 139 verse 16. You see there, before you are born, God has a book, right? Correct?
Yes.
Correct? So,
yes.
You see, you have a book in heaven, you know, called your persona. Is it? I don't know the word persona. God has a book there, and there is God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. God's plan for your life, God's plan for my life. So every time you see the blessing of God is released to you, the word of God is released to you, it is from the book that God has already written all the promises that he wants to give it to you. Even before you are born, in that verse it says, you know, God already what has ordained a book for you. So if your Kairos time and Chronos time and Philios time is properly understood, basing on the foundation of the Chronos time 24/7, then you see your book, what God promises, written in the heart and mind of God. So to see what is the heart and mind of God, can you see?
Yes.
No, just get the whole thing out there. All right. Basically, if you look at the Bible, there are two broad categories called the mind of God and the heart of God. What's the difference? All right, turn to Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. He says, just respond. He says, your thoughts are many, right? Like the sand. Cannot be counted like the sand on the seashore, like that, right?
Yes.
Correct? Now, so when you say time of refreshing and time of Kairos time or Rima word, it is actually not God's counsel or God's heart. It's from God's thought, because there are many, many thoughts. So it's just a fraction, a small fraction of God's will revealed. All right? So if you look at the tabulation there, when the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 9, it says we know in part, we prophesy in part, right? We know in part. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians quickly, 39. Somebody turn quickly and yes, right? He said we know in part and we prophesy in part, right? Okay, now if you look at Revelation chapter 19 verse 10, it says, you know, the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you all respond quickly so that we can move on. The spirit of the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. That means to say, when we in the church, when the spirit of prophecy covers the church congregation during the time of worship, any person in the congregation, among the congregation, can prophesy. Okay, so there is just a thought from God, not the heart of God. Then you have the gift of prophecy, gift of prophecy basically operates on three basic areas: edification, exaltation, and comfort. So if you are not a prophet and you try to go beyond this limitation of edification, exhortation, and comfort. The likelihood you will go wrong. Your likelihood you go wrong. So don't go above edification, exhortation, comfort. If you are not a prophet, man. The third, the fourth area is called measure of grace. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, you know, you prophesy according to the measure of grace. So in the prophecy there, if it's a, it's not the counsel of God, it's the thought of God, it's just a measure of grace. That means to say it's only for a very specific situation and time only. Okay? In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it's called measure of faith. Measure of faith. So God will just impart, not your faith, you know, God will impart a certain level of, just from his thought, he just impart into you a special measure of faith to believe, you know, and to prophesy within edification, exaltation, and comfort. And it's a foretelling word, it's not foretelling, not foretelling a future word. Foretelling means prophesy over the future. No, it's foretelling, word of knowledge or word of wisdom. That somebody speaks, then suddenly you speak, that you speak is a solution to me. So it's just foretelling. It is never foretelling. Because God's thought is not foretelling, it's foretelling. Okay? And when you receive the Rima word, normally, if you are not a prophet and you are not prophesying, normally, there is no directional prophecy. What do you mean by non-directional prophecy? Let's say I get an impression. I need to know whether it's a mind of God or it's a heart of God. If I'm not a prophet, okay, I will not give direction. Oh, now you resign from this job. God is going to give you another job. That is not from God. That is not from God. So the thought of God does not give you directional prophecy because you are not a prophet. And you do not engage in directional prophecy. Hey, you resign now or you go and buy this house and God will be with you. God will provide the finance. You put that person in trouble. Okay? And the thoughts of God is, as I say, Rima word, Kairos time, situational word. It has to be judged and it has to be tested because not every part of that impression that you receive, because your own self may preempt. You know, when God speaks to you something, like if I speak to you now, your mind will work, you know, and then you preempt how to reply. So there is some area where you may preempt that it may not be from God. So if God speaks to you, okay, or somebody prophesy over you, you need to weigh that prophecy, whether which part is from God, which part is from man. So all prophet or prophetic word, except the written word, Old Testament, all has to be judged and all has to be tested. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, first part. Okay, so God's time, Kairos time, is basically is refreshing time, just refresh you for that moment. And it gives you a revival in the church, okay? So I have already explained now confirming word, now word, you know, and future word. So we have received whatever word in the church, it has to be what they call tested, okay? And it is a prophetic gift. When you say prophetic gift, what do we mean by that? Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. Matthew chapter 10, verse 41 says, if you receive a prophet, you will receive a prophet reward. If you receive a teacher, scribe, a teacher, you will receive a teacher's reward. If you receive a righteous man, you will receive a righteous man reward. Okay? So what do you mean by that? That means to say, if you receive and welcome a prophet, and truly that person is a prophet, at that moment of time when you receive and when he is in your presence or in the present in the church, then when he releases something, there is some beneficial benefit from his presence. That is what he means. But when he goes off, that benefit may gone. But he has deposited something into your life and deposited something into the church. That is called prophet's gift. He that receive a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Now, coming to the heart of God is basically called the counsel of God. Can you turn to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 18 and 22? Jeremiah 23, I repeat again, Jeremiah 23, verse 18 and 22. You see there, counsel of God. Counsel of God, right?
Yes. Correct?
Yes.
So when it's counsel of God, because basically thoughts of God is released to us by the Holy Spirit. Correct? The Holy Spirit speaks to me. Oh, the Spirit of God touched my heart. Oh, today, you know, the presence of God is very strong. So counsel of God basically comes from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speaking together, agreeing together. All right? You can find that in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God counseled within himself. Okay? And basically, these are restorative truth. It's time of restoration. Time of restoration. So restoring. Okay? Thoughts of God is time of refreshing. So counsel of God is restorative truth, because Acts chapter 3 verse 21 says what? Restore all things to the mouth of all his holy prophets. Okay? Now, if you look at this, what they call the scenario, prophet, how do they receive God's counsel? Those scriptures are given to you. You see there, you use a King James Version, just to take one verse down there, 1 Kings 17 verse 1, there are all together four mentioned. Can everybody turn to 1 Kings 17 verse 1? 1 Kings 17 verse 1. You see there, stood in the counsel of God, right? Stood in the presence of God. Stand in the presence of God, or what? Is it? No, King James Version. Elijah stand in the presence of God. Confirm?
No, yes or no? Counsel. Just before whom I stand.
Before whom I stand there, you see the prophet stand. So when the prophet stand, that means he like observer, he goes into the presence of God in the spiritual realm. And then Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is talking, and he stand there as listener. Observer, that's what it means. And they are talking about the counsel, time of restoration. Again, you find that one King chapter 18 verse 5, is he stand stand before the Lord, right? Okay, so when we talk about God's counsel, it is the prophet, not we. We will only receive Rhema word. The prophet will receive the counsel word. Okay, this he stand before God, and he received God's counsel. Just we already read, and he also received God's secret. All right, Amos chapter 3 verse 7-8. Can somebody confirm? God will not speak. God will not reveal unless he speak to his prophet. Right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
Deuteronomy also have that same characteristic. Proverbs 29 verse 18. Without vision, the people perish. Correct? The word without vision, without prophetic vision or revelation. On the margin, you look at King James Version on the margin there, or NIV margin on the side. Without prophetic vision, the people go astray or perish. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So these are the different characteristics. And when God talks, when we talk about the counsel of God, always remember it's time of restoration. And time of restoration is not time, Kairos time. It's Chronos time. That means to say God's plan covers from Genesis chapter 3, after the fall of Adam, all the way to Revelation chapter 22. That is the Kairos time of God, the plan of God. That's why the Bible is called the book of redemption or book of restoration. Because from chapter 3, when Adam fell, God begins to restore, and he completes his restoration in Revelation chapter 22, where you see the bride, the marriage on in chapter 19, verse 7 to 9. Revelation chapter 17, chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 to 9, you see the marriage. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the bride and the spirit say, come. Already married, so that it becomes a bride and the spirit comes. Okay, so this is called the council or the time of restoration, and it is called the new wine skin. The other one is called reconditioned wine skin on the left side. All right, it is foundational ministry of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers. Of which two of the five apostle and prophet. Found in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20, okay, is they are the foundation builders, okay. Gift of Christ, Ephesians 4, 7 to 8 and verse 11, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And the next area is that fourth telling, that is edification, exaltation, comfort, plus foretelling, telling into the future. That can be found in Jeremiah 1, 9 to 10. And turn to Hosea. I want everybody to turn to Hosea so that you can see for yourself. Hosea chapter 12, verse 13. Hosea chapter 12, verse 13. Prophet delivers and prophet preserves. So it's good. It's important that we have prophet to know prophet, okay? Prophet, right? Prophet delivers and prophet preserves, right? Hosea 12, 13, confirm?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. So this is from the heart of God. Then he gives directional prophecy. He comes to the church, he gives a directional prophecy for the church to move in which direction. And if you see, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, second part. It brings success and health when there is a healing will take place. Success, church will be successful, individual will be successful. If a true prophet got the understanding and prophesy according to the counsels, then there will be success and health. Second part, confirm that. He that receive a prophet, say, if you believe the Lord, you will be established. If you believe the prophet, you will prosper, right? Correct?
Yes.
I'm quoting from memory.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
You say, if you believe the Lord, you'll be established, right?
Yes.
Right? And if you believe his prophet, you will be what? You will prosper, huh? Correct? So, that is what you mean by counsel. And he gives you the future prophetic promise like David and Joseph. So this is the difference. So when we operate, or when we operate in the church, the most important thing is, the problem with the church now is that they worry about false prophets. And so they worry about so much, worry about false prophets, that they do not want to have anything to do with prophet and prophetic ministry. That will be a disadvantage to them. Now, if you go to a bank, the bank teller, the one who issue out, give money, what do you call when you draw money, they will issue out the money. The bank teller is never trained to concentrate, to major on detecting false currency, counterfeit currency. They train the bank teller to be able to recognize genuine true currency, so they feel it, they know. So churches are worrying about false prophets, they major on that area, they miss the blessing of God having God's prophet in the house and the prophetic word coming to the church. So we don't major on the false prophet. We will have false prophet. There will always be a false prophet. But we need not have to worry and major on it. We major on the God's true prophet and recognize their true prophet and receive their true prophet. And as we receive, we have success and help to the individual and to the church. Okay, next question now.